Well, good Sunday morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to be together again, even in this adjusted format. I'm glad you've tuned in this morning for worship. I hope you had a good time of worship. We just finished up with our live time of worship together using the Zoom app. Trey and his family are leading worship from their living room, putting that out live to all of us and giving us the chance to kind of sign in and to be there to see each other. It's been a really neat time together. So thank you, Trey, for doing that. If you didn't get a chance to do that, or if you're just now hearing about it, all of that is video recorded online on the New Church website that we're using during this time of quarantine or outbreak, whatever you want to call it. And so you can go on there during the week and check it out and watch the worship and be a part of it that way. And so I want to take a minute just to thank a few people who have really shined over this past week and really during this whole time that we've been struggling with this coronavirus issue. But first of all, thank you to our deacon fellowship. Our deacons are servant-hearted men. If you know them, you know that we truly do have a group of servant leaders who make an offering of themselves. And this week, I've heard of deacons cutting trees up that have fallen in your yards. I've heard of deacons delivering CDs, audio CDs, to those who can't interface with technology. I have heard of deacons making grocery runs and pharmacy runs and just being available in all kinds of ways to serve in our church, to be examples, to be leaders. And so thank you so much, guys. It is a blessing and a privilege to serve among you and to know that Poplar Springs has that type of heart among our deacons. Also, life group leaders, same thing. I can't count the times that I've made phone calls this week or visited with someone and them say, hey, my life group leader was just here or my life group leader just called me. Thank you. Just even those phone calls, reaching out, touching people's lives during this time is making such a difference. And thank you to our life group leaders for not just for teaching, but for caring about the communities that are entrusted to you. I appreciate that. I've got to thank Vicky this week too. Vicky last week called every child in the church, at least every family, every mom and dad at least, and just say, hey, did you see the worship? Did you check the children's resources online? And just checking on them to see if they needed anything. So thank you, Vicky. Thank you, church. It's been a hard time, but it has been an awesome time to get to see so many true and noble virtues in our church come rising to the top. We wouldn't have gotten to see that maybe otherwise if we weren't facing this challenge. But what I already knew about Poplar Springs has proven to be so true when we're pressed. And so I'm proud, I'm thankful, I'm all of those good things for what I've seen as we walk through this. Let me make you aware of a couple of things. Prayer request that's on my mind today is the family of Gene Austin. Gene is Pam Morgan's mother and Cassie and Hannah's grandmother in our church. And so she was burned severely yesterday on Saturday, and had to be taken down to Atlanta to, I believe it was Emory, and is in stable condition, being treated now, but her injuries are very serious, and she's got a long road ahead. So please be praying for her and for her family. Let them, if you get a chance to, let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that you care about them and that they've got your hearts and your prayers right now. Also, we've got some decisions to make this coming week, some important decisions about the next couple of Sundays together, important Sundays. We've got the Lord's Supper planned for Palm Sunday, and then the following Sunday, very quickly, is Easter. And so we've got some decisions to make. Look for this week's video update on the new website. Of course, it'll go out on Facebook. It'll go out on email. and it'll be posted on the New Church website too. So I will hopefully have a chance maybe Tuesday to talk with our leadership again after hearing some updates from the governor, from the president, from others, and make a decision going forward, okay? We are thinking and praying about this all the time. And so just know that that's the case, and I hope you'll be joining with us for prayer for what to do next, okay? Well, today, let's look together at a strange little psalm, Psalm 29. This is a psalm of David, and it is a kind of a hymn that they would have used in corporate worship. Not sure exactly all the origins of this psalm, and not sure exactly the timing of when it was written or the circumstance around it, but we do know it was a hymn of worship, and that there's so much in this strange little psalm that I want to look at together this morning. If there's one word that I've heard over and over during this time of outbreak, it's the word unprecedented. If you watch the news and you try to count this week how many times the newscasters say unprecedented, I don't know what'll happen. It'll be a lot. So just count them. You'll see it's an unprecedented response. It's an unprecedented challenge. It's unprecedented resources. Everything's unprecedented. And what they mean when they say that is just, it hasn't happened before. This is something that hasn't happened before. It's unprecedented. It's unprecedented. And we've never seen it before. It is a first time, so they say. And so this morning, as we look at Psalm 29, one thing we do know about this psalm is it was written because some of the people who were Yahweh worshipers, who worshiped the one true God, had begun to believe and to practice that God was precedented, that he wasn't singular, that he wasn't the only one, that he wasn't the first deity to happen, that there were many others, and there was one called Baal or Baal, and there was another that was a servant to Baal, and all these gods had their different purposes in these ancient myths, and God's own people had begun to believe them and to go with them. And so we're going to look at this psalm that was written to correct that and to say, no, God was truly unprecedented. He is the first and the only God that there is. And the psalmist uses kind of a theme here, or a motif of a storm sweeping in from the Mediterranean Sea and across the land of God, or downward through the land of God. And the name of the storm in this text is the voice of the Lord. It's calling the presence of God, or the power of God. It's making it into the image of a storm that comes across. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. So let's read together in Psalm 29. We're going to read the whole thing, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to try to not to hunch today. I got in trouble last week for two things, really, for hunching. And so my goal today is to not hunch. I'm going to try to sit up straight if I can. The other thing I got in trouble for was the condition of our little computer room here. Apparently, I left it messy, and apparently there was a pink lamp back in the chair behind me that was distracting. And so, no hunching, no mess. I hope I have taken care of both of those both of those issues. Psalm 29. We'll begin in verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And so this psalm is written to an audience. Even though it's used by the people of Israel, it poetically, or in a literary form, it is addressed to heavenly or angelic beings, those who are in attendance around God's throne in his heavenly temple. And it is written to them telling them to ascribe to God. And when it says to ascribe to God something, it's saying to give that or to credit that to God. The word scribe, like the word scribble, the word scribe means to write something. So you might think of a ledger book where we can ascribe this to one side or the other side. We can ascribe, as it says here, glory and strength to God, or we can move it to the other column of the ledger book. We can move it to the other side and ascribe it somewhere else in our life. We can give or declare glory and strength to somewhere else, or we can ascribe it to God. But we can't do both, okay? And so to these heavenly beings, the psalmist is writing this, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. You might think of lightning here as part of this storm. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Well, if God is not precedented, if he's one of a kind, if there is no one like our God, then what is this psalm trying to tell us is singular about God? All these people were worshiping the Baal, the Baals, and they were worshiping these other gods. Why is it? What is so unique about our God? The one and only. A few things. The first is this. There is no power like our God. Friend, there is no power like our God. Plain and simple. The Bible is very clear here in verses 3 and 4 as it describes God, Yahweh God, the one God, being the one who is over the waters. The voice of the Lord thunders over these waters. He is over the many, all the waters he is over. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. See, there were two pagan gods whose ancient myths held, were the ones who controlled the waters. And the waters were this people's source of prosperity, of provision, even of life. The waters provided everything. And so instead of being grateful to God for providing the waters, they began to worship the waters, and they began to worship false gods who they said were over bringing the blessing of the waters. It was a huge mess in their hearts. They were worshiping the wrong things. They had set up something in their life to be a source of power, which really was empty of all power. They were worshiping the wrong things. When I first moved here to Gainesville, I had to learn a lot. And my first trip to the Memorial Park funeral home, I missed the driveway and I drove into the cemetery instead. And in trying to get out, I came across a roundabout in the middle of the cemetery with a gigantic statue of a chicken, a huge chicken. And on the placard there, it said Gainesville, Georgia, poultry capital of the world. I felt like that was the strangest thing for a couple of reasons. First, when you're in a cemetery, it's kind of a serious thing. You feel like your thoughts are on sobering and somber things. You're thinking about anything other than chicken, really. And right there in the middle of Gainesville's cemetery is, and I'm not saying gigantic. I mean, it is a huge statue of a chicken. And right there in the midst of that, where you're thinking about loved ones, it just seems strange to have a chicken so prominent in the cemetery. The other reason is this. The other strange thing is I felt like it was a strange source of a place's identity or strength or prosperity or whatever you want to call it, to have their mascot or their slogan to be the poultry capital of the world. Now, listen, I have all respect for that now, but in the cemetery that day, it struck me as strange. The truth is, we all have statues erected in our lives. We all have put up monuments to the things from which we draw our power, our identity, our life, our affluence, our strength. We have all established these within our hearts. And I want to ask you today, what power is it that you're trusting? The people in this text here had grown to trust not the giver of the waters, but the waters themselves. And they had set up falsehood that they could worship instead of worshiping the one true God. We do the same thing. We're at such a risk of doing the same thing. I want you to know this morning, there is no power like our God. Have you set up a monument to self in your heart? Hey, set it aside. There is no power like our God. Is there a monument to money? Is there a monument to being loved and valued by someone else in a relationship? Listen, there is no power like our God. Who are you trusting through this crisis? As we are, you know, quarantined, locked in under these circumstances, look to the government. I watch the briefings every day. Is our ultimate trust in the government? I mean, it should not be. We've got a great government, and I'm very proud of that. But there is no power like our God. Is your trust in your money or in your supplies? Has your trust been in your 401k? There is no power like our God. None whatsoever. Not even close, okay? The voice of the Lord is over the many waters. It is powerful. It is full of majesty. The God of glory thunders. It's not the waters. It's not Baal. It is only the Lord that we find our trust and our power in. The second is this. There is no protection like our God. There is no protection like our God. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me. There were two symbols of safety in that land. Two symbols of safety. The first one were the cedars of Lebanon. They loved the cedars of Lebanon, these giant cedar trees that grew in Lebanon that every king and and every affluent person wanted in their home. Kings would brag, these beams here are made from the cedars of Lebanon in my palace. Look how strong my palace is. Look how safe my palace is. This palace is not gonna fade away. This palace is gonna be here forever. It's made out of the cedars of Lebanon. Look how great the temple is to my God. To this God or to that God. We've created a temple here from the cedars of Lebanon. They loved them. They found safety there. Even in their myths, the gods would flee to the cedars of Lebanon for safety when there was a God battle happening. When the gods were at war, they would flee to the cedars of Lebanon. But the other source of strength was the mountains of Lebanon. The mountains of Lebanon were the other source of strength. And this section here dispels both of those sources of strength. Look at these verses with me, verses 5 and 6. What does the voice of the Lord do to the cedars of Lebanon? He breaks them. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. It repeats it twice. It was so unbelievable. that anyone could snap the cedars of Lebanon, these gigantic trees. That's absurd. That's what the voice of the Lord is able to do. What does the voice do to the mountains of Lebanon? He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. And one of the mountains was named Syrian, one of those mountains in that chain of Lebanon, and Syrian like a young wild ox. Here's what this means. The mountains of Lebanon were so stable, unshakable, secure. They were the vision or the image of absolute unchanging and unalterable strength, safety, security, stability. Everyone there knew that that's what they meant. What does the Lord do to it? This unmovable rock of a place, what does he do? He causes it to jump, to skip like a calf. It's all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord thunders. The storm of God comes, and all of a sudden, Lebanon, these mountains are moved that were thought to be unmovable. He snaps the cedars and he shakes those unshakable mountains. This would be like if somebody went down here to Stone Mountain, right? And all of a sudden it was hopping and moving around like a young calf full of bouncing energy. That's the image here. Our sources of safety, of security, of protection that we find elsewhere outside of God are nothing compared to him. Somebody told me yesterday that there was an air evacuation, a medical pickup. A medical helicopter came from one of the Atlanta hospitals and landed on the parking lot of Poplar Springs Church, right at our church. It landed there and picked up the patient and took them in. And there were some people from Poplar Springs who saw this. I think they may have gone down there to see it. But anyway, you guys saw it and you told me that said this gigantic helicopter came in low and it did two passes and then it swept in, your words, it swept in across the cemetery. I mean, low across the cemetery and just landed right there on the upper parking lot of Poplar Springs. You said that the power of those rotors was massive and it just blew everything away and clouds of pollen just went everywhere. You said the whole top portion of our church lot was, you used the words, taken over by what was going on. Personnel, equipment, ambulances, helicopters, all of this. It was just consumed. It was just taken over. And as that chopper lifted off to go to the hospital, he said that the power was just captivating there. Do you see the picture here of a space that we think is under our control and all of a sudden a greater power comes in and dominates it? That's the picture here of what's happening in this psalm. They knew for certain that those cedars of Lebanon were unshakable. They knew for certain that those mountains of Lebanon were unmovable. Until what? Until they moved. Until they were broken. I ask you the question today. Where do you find your safety and security? What a hope we have, Poplar Springs. What an incredible hope we have. When what we think wouldn't be shaken is shaken, we are not put into despair, but we realize again and anew that our hope is in the one who does not change, the one true and living God. See, there's no power like our God, and there is no protection like our God, none whatsoever, not even close. But thirdly, there is no presence like our God. And I love this so much. This is probably the part of this verse that hits me the most personally. As I see verses 7 and 8, we've moved from the waters of the Mediterranean. This storm, the voice of the Lord has come in from those waters of the Mediterranean. He is Lord over the waters. The voice of the Lord, this storm has swept through the northern country, the mountains and the cedars of Lebanon. Hey, God is God of those mountains. He's God of those cedars. He's God of the things we think are strong. He's stronger than they are. And now this storm of the voice of the Lord is going to sweep to the south of this holy land here, into the desert, into the wilderness area where nobody wants to be. We've taken this journey together, and now we're moving into what is a dark and a dangerous place, a lonely place. You see, these wilderness areas are places that you wouldn't want to go. There was no civilization there. Caravans would go through this wilderness and be lost forever. They'd just be covered up by the sands of time and never to be heard from or found again. It was a lonely place. Nobody wanted to go through there, but sometimes you had to. And we find that the voice of the Lord goes even there. Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. The voice of the Lord. Now, here the voice of the Lord does something a little different than it has so far. It flashes forth flames of fire. I think that lightning is in view here, but either way, it flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord, or the Lord rather, shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. We see that God enters into a place where if you were there, you might look around and you might think, is there a God who rules here? Is there a God who sees here? Is there a God who could find me here? Because it seems pretty desolate. Nobody really wants, they want the cedars of Lebanon. Everybody wants those mountains and see every king wants that in his palace. Nobody wants where I'm at. Maybe you're in a dark place right now. I mean, a lot of people are for one reason or another. I had a text this week on my phone from someone, and to tell you the truth, I didn't have the number programmed in my phone. It was just a number that came up, and it said, I sure do miss my church family. Whoever you were, I'm sorry, I'm admitting now, I did not know who you were when you texted. I texted back, hey, I do too. We're missing each other. There are degrees of darkness in life, but this one touches me because I have walked some lonely and painful and dark places. I've been in what I might call the wilderness of Kadesh. I've been in this place where it's peril, where you look around and you just think, you know, is there a God who rules here? Has God forgotten? Is God unaware of this place? Am I alone in my suffering? Am I alone in what I'm facing in this challenge? Look what the Bible does here. It reassures us that there is no place that God does not rule. There is no forgotten place, and there is no forgotten person in any forgotten place that God does not see and rule. And the one unique thing he does right here in the wilderness is he flashes forth light. Right? In a dark place, God is able to remind the inhabitants of those weary roads that he is there and he will bring light into that darkness. I just love that so much. There's no place that God cannot go. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Where are you afraid that God is not present and does not rule? Where in your journey as a stranger and an alien through this earthly land, where is it that you're just terrified in your heart that God's not going to govern there, that he's not going to protect you there, that he's not going to be your God there, that there is no God who governs in that wilderness? Listen, hey, set it aside. Lay it to your heart that there is no presence like our God who can go anywhere. Anywhere. There is no limit to the presence of God. I want to ask you a kind of a corollary question to that. Where are you afraid God is not present, but where are you kind of hoping that God is not present? Where are you counting on that God is not present? Maybe where you can sin as you like. God will never see my sin here. Where you can live a life of injustice, hurt other people. I'm just counting, I'm just taking for granted, just hoping that there's no God in this place. Listen, whether you need God to stand by you or whether you're just hoping that God doesn't see you, the Bible puts to rest both of those questions. There is a God who can go anywhere, and he in fact does. There is no presence like our God. But lastly, there just is no person like our God. There's no person like our God. Verse 9 is very powerful. Here's what it says to us. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare, and in his temple all cry glory. Now that word is no accident. That's a word that really only belongs to our God. But we see here that God has absolute and ultimate power, that as he thunders, as his voice, as this storm moves through, it is a fearsome voice. The presence of God is not to be taken lightly. It is a fear-invoking voice. And when he comes, the deer give birth, right? Maybe they weren't ready to give birth. I mean, that's what's indicated here. But suddenly they are frightened into delivering their calves. The deer give birth when they hear the voice of the Lord. And the forests are stripped bare. If you can think of a forest just robbed of all its trees, just wiped out into an empty landscape, the voice of the Lord is able to do that, the storm of God's presence. And when those in his angelic council, those to whom this is addressed, when they see it, when they hear it, when they're faced with the presence of the Lord, all they can do, how many of them? Most of them? All of them, is cry. Not say, not mumble. All they can do is cry glory. Glory. See, there's no other proper response to God than that. Glory. Glory, God. God, I didn't really realize all that you were. Glory, God. Lord, I thought I was a big deal. Glory, God, when I'm faced with who you are, the big deal that you are. My little girl, Olivia, I've told you this before. We took her to Blue Ridge, to downtown Blue Ridge one day, and she was probably two or three, just toddling a little bit, and she thought she was big, and she wanted to go down this platform. It was all fenced off, rails all around. It was safe, but she wanted to go down there, and it was much further than we normally would let her go. She walked a little ways, and she looked back at us with this look, and we didn't say anything. She'd walk a little further, and she'd look back again with this look like, I'm a big girl, right? I mean, you can't stop me. I'm a big girl. She walked a little further. She looked back. Are mom and dad going to stop me? She gets carried on and on until she was all the way at the end, up against the rail, looking down over the train tracks in Blue Ridge. And she was there just by herself, feeling big, feeling strong, feeling grown up. And all of a sudden, that train blasted. And I mean blasted. That mighty whistle, and it roared and echoed through all those buildings. Olivia, little bitty Olivia, turned around, and as fast as those little toddling feet would go, was running back to mom and dad. Her face had the look of absolute melting fear. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, just terror in her eyes. Tears streaming down her face. She was crying out, screaming for us. She got there. I grabbed her up in my arms, and she just cried and cried like that breathless cry, right? She thought she was big until something bigger came around. Listen, I don't care how big you think you are, or how safe and secure you think you are with the mountains of Lebanon, or with the cedars of Lebanon that you've got in your life, whatever those may be, whatever it is you're resting the weight of your life on. I don't care how powerful you think you are with the statues that you've erected to sources of strength of life, of identity in your life. It doesn't matter. When you come into the fearsome presence of God, you, like me, like all of us, will be laid low. And all you'll be able to say is to cry out glory. That is the God we serve. That's the God in the Psalms here who was set up in comparison to the false gods of the day. And David has maybe composed this psalm here to say, no, 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 there is no God but our God. He is the one and only God, and we will worship him. All in his temple will cry out glory. Who gets the glory in your life? Or what gets the glory in your life? It's one thing to say who gets glory. It's another thing to examine your heart, to look inside, and to really try to divide, who is getting the glory? To what am I ascribing glory? There are two columns on this ledger. One is the Lord God. The other is anything else. And he will not share his glory. In what column are you placing the things of your life? Do you need to ascribe those now instead to God? To give them to God, to ascribe them to God, is going to mean to take away from those other things. That's what we're being called to do here in this text. To give those things to God means that you're going to have to take them away from something else. And sometimes that can be painful. But when you know who God is, that's all you're going to want to do. This text concludes in verse 11 by telling us, in effect, that peace and strength are related here. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. See, we want peace right now. I know you want peace. I want peace. Everybody in our culture, everybody in our world is clamoring for peace right now. But we will have peace to the degree that we find our strength in God alone. See, may the Lord give strength to his people, and may he bless them with peace. Do you want peace, not just from the coronavirus? Do you want peace from sin? Do you want peace from struggle, trying to find power, trying to work and feverishly labor to bring security and safety into your life? Mm-mm. If you want peace, find your strength in God alone. I want to just give you an invitation today. If you need to make a decision, if you need to come to the Lord for any reason, maybe you need to come to Christ for salvation. Maybe you need to ask him to save you. You see, the Bible says that we'll give glory to God now, or we'll be made to give glory to him later. The Bible says in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so you may be confronted now in this life with the majesty of God, with the voice of the Lord, and you may realize who he is. And when you see how big he is, it shows you how small you are, how strong he is, how weak you are, how loving he is, how sinful you are. When you see this, you may decide in this life to say, God, I want to give you glory now. I want to be saved and I want to trust Jesus. There's another group of people who, in the end, when Christ returns, will be made by God, by the power of God, to bend the knee. Will be made by the power of God to bow and give glory to God the Father by acknowledging Jesus Christ. So you can now or you will later. You can face a Savior God or you can face a judgment God. And that is up to you. And so today, as we've had this time together, if you need to trust Christ for the first time, wouldn't you do that? And let us know about it. You can reach out to me by phone, by email. On the new website, we've got a place right there. You can indicate, hey, I've made a decision for Christ, or I want to know more about making a decision for Christ. That'll come straight to me, and I promise you that I'll get back with you, okay? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you today for this good time together. Thank you for this time of worship we had earlier, Lord, and we thank you that in every respect, you're just so worthy, God. Thank you, God, that the voice of the Lord has not stayed quiet. But Lord, you have come and made yourself known to us. Please forgive us, God, when we want to place our lives in all so many other things besides you, when you are all that we need, God. You are the one who loves us the truest. And we thank you for that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our church, Poplar Springs. Please guard and care for each one during this time. Please grant our leaders in our government and our leaders in our church wisdom, discernment, and trust in you as we move through these days ahead, not knowing exactly from day to day what we're going to face. But Lord, we love you, and we know that you are in control, and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you have a great week, and I want you to, as always, Poplar Springs, no matter where this week takes you, to live this week unto Christ. He is worthy. Have a great week.